orgasmic carmatic, Betty Doo, and female Satan, the fallen.
Everybody, welcome to the Ooze. It's Orgasmic Traumatic. I have Betty Doom and Female Satan with me. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Hi there.
We're supposed to have Zach with us today, but we currently don't. So,
sorry.
There we
go. He'll pop in of his own accord, I'm sure.
Yeah, we'll figure something out. Well, today is a double feature. There's two different topics. The first topic is about SINS, Satanic International Network.com's birthday or anniversary coming up. I was getting a phone call. it actually falls on July 19th, which I believe is Tuesday. Hold on. Sorry about that. My mother was trying to call me. So I know that all three of us have been a part of Satanic International Network for various amounts of time. I joined in September. I'm not sure when you joined. Female Satan, I'm not sure when you joined either, Betty. Sorry.
I actually joined in late April.
I joined in December and then in February. Seriously.
Yes, double enrollment.
Mm-hmm.
Well, shit. It was really beneficial to have Zach on for this, you know, the owner of the site.
Yeah, I don't know. Talk about why he created it and all that stuff.
Yeah. Well,
you know, tell us about the journey.
We know that Zach hasn't been online for very long, not as long as most of us have. I know that I've been online since I was just tiny. I'm one of those weird can type 90 words a minute kind of people. So I think I remember him saying when I first joined that, you know, he didn't think that there was any other satanic networks out there, which was one of the reasons why he wanted to create the network. And then he found out, of course, there's other left-hand path networks, but none of them seem to be very as successful as Satanic International Network has been in the past year or so, say year or so. I know I became an admin about, I want to say November or October, somewhere around there. I've been an admin ever since. So I've seen a lot of changes in the network. I've gotten rid of a lot of people. I've welcomed a lot of people, and people have come and went for different reasons. My experience has been a pleasant one, I think, for the most part, with the exception of, you know, recently someone emailed me calling me a son of a bitch. That was interesting. Never had that happen before.
I have that happen all the time. About daily, I get the butthurt PM, so to speak. Pretty much every day, yeah. So, yeah, I get them constantly. Even people I won't have even said anything to will send me PMs telling me what a bitch I am. So, you know.
Oh, it's good to be popular.
Oh, yeah. It's always fun. Yeah, I would say that my experience has been incredibly pleasant. I think that I've, I don't know, I mean, I started in December, and I was, I had done a lot of reading, but I don't really learn. I mean, I learn by reading, but I don't. I learn more by interacting with other people and doing things. So, for me personally, since been quite, I don't know how to explain it. It solidified my philosophical grounding by, you know, having these conversations on these threads and interacting with some brilliant minds within the satanic community. I mean, I feel like I've personally grown quite a bit on the in the mental portion, so to speak, from being on the network. I've met some people that are absolutely fantastic and amazing, and, you know, I've made some really good friends. You know, and obviously some enemies, but, you know, mostly friends, people that, you know, I feel like are family in a way.
Well, it is a pretty tight-knit group. We've only got a little over 1,500 people over at the network, which is the size of the high school I graduated from, actually.
Holy crap.
They're a little larger.
My high school.
I'm sorry?
I'm sorry, I keep interrupting. I'm going to shut up now. You go ahead and go on.
Oh, no, you're good. And you do see a few people that are much more active than others and kind of set the tenor and dynamic, but they're great people, and it's a shakeup. There's no one or two people that just, you know, completely dominate the dialogue, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh, no, yeah, that's the thing. And new people get welcomed all the time into the dialogue. I mean, I certainly was. I started, 6 months after the network started, you know, and, I mean, there could have been a very solidified and established group there, but I was welcomed pretty quickly and easily and, you know, well, actually. I will say I think that Satanists are a lot more friendly than they get credit for a lot of the time.
Definitely a lot easier to get along with than we ever get credit for.
Yeah.
Like so many of us just don't expect much in the way of affability from other people. And, you know, if you can meet a couple of very basic criteria, then, yeah, I don't know.
I've seen that theory work with some, and I've seen it work with others and not work with others on sin. Some people would refer to, and we all know who the inner circle is. I mean, they're very, very basic key players. We all know who the inner circle is. So some of us, or some people, would consider sin more like a clique, I think. And I think that gets us into a trouble a lot. But for the most part, I think sin has done a very good job. I think Zach's done a very good job. And,
if there is cliquishness, though, I would say that it's very organic. It's self-arising. It's not something that's just many people trying to suck up to a few people for silly reasons. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, no.
There's definitely kind of a resistance to that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, I'd agree. I also think that it was it's entirely organic. It's just like certain people tend to sort of gravitate towards each other and wind up becoming, you know, relatively close. And I think that's a good thing. There's no, you know, Zach's always said that there's no hierarchy. There's no, you know, there's no bunch of people with different things on their names and things like that. And that's a good thing. You know, I've seen members of the inner circle from when I started fall, you know, ran out of there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's very dynamic. You know what I'm saying? Like, nobody that is in a position of, you know, that kind of respect is there simply because of seniority or because they have some stake somebody else does. You know, it's genuinely because they bring the most interesting game the greatest consistency.
There are a few members that aren't active anymore that I actually miss the hell out of. Really?
Oh. Yeah, me too. And some
major
that I don't
players.
Call. Yeah.
Oh, that's something you have to do.
The 1 year anniversary. I'm too new, but are there any like requiems that we should give? Is anybody like that y'all terribly miss?
I miss Manic.
Yeah, Manic.
I really miss Manic. She's awesome, and she's popped up since, you know, her kind of sabbatical just a couple times. But yeah, I miss her.
Yeah, Manic was awesome, or is awesome. She's not dead, so, you know, she still currently reigns supreme in her manic ways. And she was a really big player this past winter, and she got close to a lot of us, and then she went to jail.
Yeah.
And she came back, like, last month, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's unfortunate because, you know, hopefully when she does come back again, we can, like, corral her into being on one of these episodes. She ran a Blog Talk Radio herself for her website, Spiritual Pollution.
Yeah.
And I remember she had a episode where everyone sent in their poetry.
Yeah.
And it was just the coolest shit ever. I loved Manic so much. I miss her.
Well, we
got
to do that. I've run into her, like, once in Tiny Chat, but she seemed like a very, very cool lady.
Oh, she's awesome.
Really is.
Yeah, no, she played music in between the poets, the poems. I mean, it was awesome, actually. I mean, and she was just awesome in general.
Another person just recently left for his little insight role that I miss a lot is Michael Joaquin. You know, towards the end, before he left for his insight role, he got a little, you know, in people's faces. But what I really loved about Michael was he wasn't afraid to actually go out and be a jackass and be called the jackass. He didn't care, you know. See, who else has come and gone? My buddy.
Man, I'd have to say, though, that's a pretty common and cherished trait among a lot of our members, though.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Is being willing to own one's own jackassery.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And we all have our moments. I've had mine. And I've, you know, been very open about that and admitted it. Why I still bop around with the same screen name now, you know, is to remember, don't do stupid shit on the internet for no reason. It's not that important.
You know, and I feel like I'm reminiscing good old times. Sorry.
XG. I miss her.
Yeah.
I miss her quite a bit, actually.
Yeah, and that was one that left on her own accord, you know.
Yeah.
That's something that, of course, all of us are going to miss. And she was witty, she had a sharp tongue, she knew what the hell she was talking about, you know. She was in your face. Yep.
Oh, yeah. She was political and, you know, intelligent. Sexy, yeah.
Smart. Yeah.
I was about to say quite pretty as well.
Yeah, I miss her. I miss her quite a bit. That's, yeah. Who else? I know there's other people.
I know. I'm sitting there, like, staring off into, like, the sky trying to figure out all of the people that have come and gone. But for some reason, I'm thinking of all the people that I do not miss.
Yeah.
Well, this may be
a
good transition into that. I miss Daryl.
I miss Daryl.
Daryl is still around. He is still around. He really is. And he does check in. I think he checks in, like, once every couple of months.
Oh, then I certainly hope he's listening, because, like, I miss him. Come on, man.
Yeah.
But I have to say, he's never shown his face in chat after that one night.
after that. He's never been in chat. Which sucks.
For clarification, which night was that?
Oh, God. I really couldn't tell you. It's been a couple months, I think.
Yeah, it's been a bit. He was over at the L316 site and then quit posting over there, too. He just kind of vanished, basically. So, you know.
Do you remember that whole loaf of bread thing?
Yeah, I do.
Lexi, you remember that?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
I remember that, yeah. I miss him quite a bit. He was, I liked him because, and actually it's a funny thing, because a lot of girls thought he was sexist, but I thought he was the total opposite because I don't always get called out very often, and he would sit and just rip my shit apart from the sentence by sentence, you know, and I'd be sitting there going, oh shit, you know, I need to clarify some.
That is a type of sexism that is rarely addressed, and I encounter it all the time. Like, I can tell when someone is going easier on me because they really don't want to offend a pretty girl, and it is so boring and banal, and it just lowers my respect for the person immensely.
Yeah. No, exactly. I've made my views on a supplication pretty well known on the forums over at Sin. And it's a weird, odd reverse sexism. It's like, well, I could potentially fuck you, so I don't want to piss you off, sort of thing. You know, which actually I'm kind of the opposite. Like, please rip me a new one, because in a way, that's almost a turn on, you know. If you tore my stuff up, I'm like, well, who are you? You know?
You know who else I miss bouncing in and out of Sin? Shugs.
Yes, I miss her too. She's been a huge influence on me, and I don't think, and I've expressed that to her, but yeah, no, she was a huge influence on me. I was kind of depressed the first time she came on the scene, and I was actually contemplating leaving, and then she bounced in, and she was sort of the reason I stayed, internet active, actually, because I really liked the way she put things. I liked what she had to say. She made me feel like, I was like, okay, I can do this, you know, because there's not as many girls as there are guys running around the internet.
So people say this a lot, but I think it bears repeating. Sin has some of just the coolest chicks around. Am I right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Not only that, it's the intelligent level, the intelligence level. Wow, way to screw that up during that sentence. I think all the women of Sin kick ass. I really do.
Oh, I agree. I definitely agree. And I think that it's, and that's one thing that's been quite remarkable for me personally, because at least in real life, I don't tend to encounter a lot of intelligent people, really intelligent people. And I tend to actually, I am the worst. I always use my looks to manipulate in real life. I'm really bad about that, actually. Like, I could literally get away with murder, you know, if I wanted to sometimes, I think. But I can't do that.
Oh, 50% of murders go unsolved, and a lot of those are, like, unplanned, hasty, like, just, you know, shit that was never going to go right. Moving on.
We have that I've been ignoring for the past 5 minutes on an accident because I've been paying attention to the chat and not, okay, so we don't have that caller anymore. So whoever that was, you can call back in, and I'll pay attention to the studio instead of listening to them.
Aww.
I would say that that's certainly something that I really enjoy about Sin, is that I definitely get my intelligence tested, and, you know, I get a lot of get a lot of good feedback, and I do really have to think, and sometimes, I mean, you know, the brain, intelligence is a muscle like anything else, and sometimes I think that if you don't use it, you start to lose it, so that's been that's been a pretty actually enlightening experience for me. I will also say that the network in general has made me read and study up on subjects I never would have even considered, because, like, I'll be in the middle of, like, some thread that we're going through. Somebody will mention something, and then I'm off reading about that. I learned all about determinism and fatalism that way, actually, because I didn't know what they were. I didn't know.
That's happened to me several times, and it's great when it does. One of my favorite things, though, is that that is maintained without the nasty smog of pretension that it could so easily develop. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Like,
yeah,
we have people 18 to, you know, God, so old that it doesn't seem polite to, you know, reference it on the radio, but everybody is able to interact and do so as peers to a degree.
Yeah.
And we work it out when that can't happen.
Well, exactly. And I will say, too, because I also know the show's about the satanic sexes, that the men of sin have been a pretty big influence on me in general. I think that they've been, I don't know, nothing but kind most of the time to me, and nothing but understanding. And, you know, they've offered not only critiques, but a lot of times information that I simply didn't have, or a new subject to study, or a new avenue to go down. And I do,
that's been your experience?
Yeah.
Because I think they're all a bunch of assholes.
Oh, no, they're assholes. I will 100% agree with you there. But I love those kind of men. I really do. I love guys that are, like, total and complete assholes. I always have. They appeal to me on some level. I don't know why, but I've always been that way, you know. It's like a lot of times the guy that will cuss me out sometimes has my attention more so than somebody that wouldn't.
Well, I mean, I think that a lot of people would prefer the prince to the puppy, and you're a very challenging type of person yourself. So it's very hard to continue respecting somebody when, like, they roll over constantly. Rather than accept a little bit of critique or risk being wrong or risk being right and having to pay the consequences of upsetting you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, exactly. And I've had, you know, the men there are definitely, you know, I mean, sex always said I'm an asshole, and I'm like, yeah, you are, and that's why I love you in a lot of ways. You know, some women couldn't live with it, but in a way, it's like, I don't know, it's subconsciously, I think sometimes I'm always trying to find somebody that can best be, you know, and I think that boils down to, you know, an alpha-alpha thing, is that, I don't know, I think an alpha male should somehow manage to dominate an alpha female, just on some kind of basic biological level, and I think that's why I kind of prefer those kind of men, actually.
Well, I think it depends on how you think about dominance. Humanity has wolf-like qualities, of course, but, I mean, there's also a sense in which the alpha female is always going to be dominant in certain aspects that are very, very important. Whoever is in charge, you know, whenever this is divided, of gathering food, for instance, there's a lot of social power that goes with that automatically. Whoever is in charge of keeping, like, festival seasons or whatever. And even though they're not always clergy, that's usually a woman's type of role. Get everything ready and keep it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, no.
We're departing from the wolf metaphor a bit here.
Yeah. Well, no, I agree, because I think that women have a natural tendency, I think, to kind of, because of that gathering thing, they tend to kind of group together, you know, and defend each other. Because I think that's, you know, I think it's a natural thing for women, and they tend to be more nurturing and more kind and things like that. Like, you know, I will take pity on an idiot that posts it sin or in real life in a heartbeat. But, you know, we've discussed this before, you know, and I know what it is. But yeah, you know, I'll take them under my wing and try to help them and everything else. You know, and that's a different aspect, I think, of the whole alpha thing, is that, you know, I want to mother the world in a way.
Yeah, and you want to see stronger people in your community, for sure, for sure. I think it's funny that we're talking about the women in STEM because I actually spent 2 years, like, in an all-women's school. It was pretty small. It was, like, 750 of us, you know. And I also just went to ordinary public high school. So I've been around girls a lot. And we have a very interesting kind of dynamic at STEM because I think that in a lot of other situations where you had that ratio of, like, so many more males to females, most of the women participating, you know, aren't gay or anything. I think that you could expect so much more backbiting and infighting and stupid drama and shallow competitiveness and all of that in almost any other scenario like that. We have kind of a tendency, with few exceptions, to just kind of fold without saying much. Like, I've seen it happen so many times. You know what I'm saying? Yep. Just, you know, psh, 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 psh.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'd hate to be on the other end of it. You know what I'm saying? Like, what did I do? It's like you tripped a wire that went under four chairs and had no fucking idea.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'd agree, and the thing is too, I think especially with you know, the women, I've most of the time got their back, especially if they're, I don't know, genuinely intelligent and genuinely trying, you know, even if they're not there yet. I've always got their back because I want to see more women participate, not less, which I think is.
And how many times? I didn't mean to cut you off.
Go ahead.
But how many times has Zach won an argument by, say, with another guy, not even an argument, a real argument, just a bit of schoolyard mudslinging, by getting them, the other guy, to say something more inflammatory and sexist and letting a bunch of bitches jump on him, and he just giggles and goes and gets a beer?
Exactly.
Has anybody seen that?
I've seen that. I've seen that quite a bit. I've also seen him if the women start talking.
It's elegant. I like it very much.
If the women start getting really girly, he'll start getting really sexist, so they start kind of arguing with him and stop talking about shoes or something. I've had him do that to me on a few occasions, where, like, there'd be three or four of us, and we're in a girl topic, and he'll just kind of keep, like, show me your tits and stuff until we're all like, oh, God, back, fuck you, you know?
Yeah, no, I've definitely seen that before. Like, callow manipulator.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
We must be much, much cuter, like, when slightly irate. That's the only thing that accounts for a lot of what I see going on.
Oh, I would definitely.
It's cut both ways. You got to remember the thread he posted, Zach, like, the whole women are the dominant sex, and it went on back and forth, the unfolding the way one could pretty much expect. And, like, somebody no need to be mentioned pointed out that maybe this was, I don't know, what it looked like to me, just an attempt for Zach to get laid.
Yeah.
Because all the smart ones want to hear that they're pretty, and all the pretty ones want to hear that they're smart. I don't know if that's, like, an open secret or not.
What about those of us that are pretty and smart?
Like me? Man, it's hard for me to even hear a compliment, actually, because it's just part of the background noise, like birds twittering as I go about my day.
Actually, for me, and I will say this, I was fully confident that I was attractive when I started at the network. I did not have a lot of confidence that I was intelligent. That's actually been built up through participation online and actually, you know, taking some classes. I'm going back to school in the fall and things, but yeah, no, actually, the men helped quite a bit with that because, yeah, no, I got lots of "you're smart too" compliments, which were relatively helpful, actually.
I'd say as a group, we don't throw around compliments cheaply, it's just Satanists in general. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I know, I'm quite stingy. Like, when I compliment somebody with really low self-esteem, I like to remind them how shallow I am, you know, so they really can take that to the bank if I say the outfit is flattering. You know what I'm saying? Or if I say
yeah,
that, you know, what you said was relevant or intelligent.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I have noticed that, too, is that compliments are relatively rare, but genuine when they occur.
Definitely.
Yeah, which I do appreciate, because you can have a lot of you have a lot of men telling you a lot of things, but at the end of the day, you know, there's always that regarding, do they want to get in my pants, or do they actually think that I'm smart? Which is actually something that I still have on some level. I've never really lost that. I always wonder that. But,
you know how you can really tell when they think you're smart?
How?
You know how you can really tell? When they turn it around and, you know, start degrading their entire shtick into, like, immature insults and when they turn into a fourth grader. that's how you can really tell is when you've been at each other's throats for, like, 10 minutes. You know what I'm saying? Pulling up references and definitions, and then after 11 or 12 minutes, it's like, fuck you. Your opinion doesn't matter.
Yeah.
That's how you can really tell, I think.
Oh, yeah. No, I'd agree. And I also, I think, too, that you can tell that, and I will say this, I do think that the intellectual level it's been is very, very, very high. I think that it's improved dramatically since I started. I will say that. It's gone up quite a bit.
I'm trying to get the guys to call in, but they're all being wusses, so they're not going to do it.
Yeah, I certainly hope that one caller is Zach, because that would make me afraid that we've just exhausted, like, his attention. He's not going to try again.
No, that wasn't Zach. That was a different person in the chat, and unfortunately, he was on hold for about 5 minutes, so... He dropped, which
it happened.
Oh yeah.
We have another whole topic, right? That we could just like pull out of our back pocket, you know, if something like this happened.
For sure. The second topic was this. It's titled "The Satanic Sexes," which I think we've discussed a little bit, actually, unknowingly. As our conversation has gone on. But originally, it was supposed to be, the topic was supposed to just cover satanic men in general. And then it was changed to include both sexes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Did that go on my red list? I was like, no. I think I remember that. I don't want to do a show where we're just talking about boys.
Well, no, and I would agree with that. I think that this show definitely needs to, and I sent Org a PM stating that it was my topic idea originally, and then I said, you know, I think that we need to separate and make this very, you know, it doesn't need to be defined by the fact that we're not men as much as what the topic
Although
is
the very
and what we're
fact
talking
that-
about.
Although the very fact that we aren't men makes it that much better, but I digress. Just putting that out
there. Well, that's kind
of... Oh, I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Well, I think that originally this show was very defined by the fact that it was women talking, and I want to definitely... I'd like to see it go in a direction of it's more of what we're talking about and not the fact that we have boobs, because... Boobs will only keep people listening for so long before they get tired of it. And I think...
Not at all. This is definitely radio.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we were supposed to be broadcasting from a hot tub naked in Virginia. What happened to that?
I was unaware that this was, like, my hot tub that was being turned out for it.
Well, I don't
But you
tub.
Had one.
I definitely don't have a hot tub. I'm in Michigan. What do I need a hot tub for?
It Isn't it cold there?
Not right now. It's like 90-some degrees up here.
I'm in Tennessee. It's always hot. Well, except for when the winter finally hits for like 2 months.
Well, damn. There goes that idea. Oh, see? There we go.
I mean, thanks for, you know, completely blowing that carefully constructed illusion, Lexi. I mean, I'm pretty sure until you said something, everybody was totally on board, like we were all in a hot tub.
Well, you know, we'll just have to save that for next week.
Of course.
And in the meantime, we've got to figure out, you know, where we're going to get this elusive hot tub from. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to come up with the goods.
What makes it a hot tub? Like, does it have to have, like, the bubbly stuff? Andy, or is it just, like...
I thought that was a jacuzzi.
Like, do we have a topic or a caller?
Because
I'm out of control. There is... There,
we do.
The thread's gone. Okay.
We do have a caller. Let's do this and see if they're in a hot tub or they have one we can borrow.
Rain it in.
727, you are on the air.
A hot tub? No, but I did think it was kind of funny that we're talking about hot tubs in the ooze. It just kind of makes me wonder what's floating in the water.
Is that Beef Man?
It would be.
Oh, indeed.
What's up, kitties? You guys are doing a great job talking about boys. It's kind of cute to see all the girls come conversing about the boys.
And now we got you. So, like, we can break out the Ben and Jerry's and get real fucking serious about it. Yeah, you know, smart comments.
That's right. The man that runs the ooze is kind of our pimp.
So,
really? I ain't making shit.
Well, then you're bringing the hot tub, then, buddy. You got to do something. It's a give take.
No, none of this makes sense. I give and I give and I give, and there's no hot tubs.
Well, are you at least going to bring the Ben and Jerry's?
No, I said that, man. All right. Y'all's broken promises mean nothing to me.
We can get in a hot tub in October in Texas when Sin has its first annual gathering.
I will demand.
You got something wrong with you.
I demand a hot tub, yes.
Well,
everyone's
got
the hot tub.
Of locals to float in the local bathhouse, and I think you'll have that. You're talking about Austin, Texas. The average temperature is like 110 degrees.
No, you know what's really fun to do when someone else is in the hot tub is, like, walk by with, like, some onions and celery and cut them up and, like, turn the heat up a little bit. And just, like, rub your hands together and grin at them.
If you're going to do that, you have to have the mole on your nose.
I mean, that's some good, clean fun right there, isn't it?
Who's
going to
have the mole on their
nose? Like that tray of breadcrumbs or gingerbread cookies or something?
Yeah, or like some noodles.
Noodles are good. All right, and so, I got to tell you, I checked out the first half of the show, and I'm not quite sure what Mindfucks was bitching about. It seemed like you guys were doing pretty good pulling it together.
Well,
Mindfucks was bitching about our performance?
Mindfucks left because he said that the show was, quote, fucking shit, and he left. But to be fair, Mindfucks has been in most of the first half of our shows and has left. Saying the same thing. We're not exactly his cup of tea. And you know what? We're not going to be everybody's favorite. We're not going to be everybody's number one or anything, so I'm not really all that concerned about it. He didn't call in, and he didn't suggest a topic, so it's all right. It's good to have.
Matt, it happens. The things that you miss. Yeah, I'm always outside when we're doing this show, so I'm not looking at the chat.
Right.
I'm not looking at the chat either, so I don't know.
You guys seem to be doing a good job. It would be interesting if maybe we had a little more digression in terms of maybe roles in the actual left-hand path dichotomy. You know, you've got a female presence, which I think should be more prominent when you're dealing with left-hand path materials, and the male presence is more of something that should be submersed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I think that there's always been a very feminine faith and very feminized aesthetic to the left-hand path, its activities, its mythology, mm-hmm. to an extent. It's always been kind of an under-the-mainstream type of thing anyway, and so I would say that women have always been very closely associated, and strange women have always been very closely associated with the devil and his activities. Like, that's just part and parcel of that to me, and there's a lot of desire by modern people to revise that history and disown it, but it doesn't change the facts to me anyway.
Well, and I would agree with you, and I would actually, you know, I've recently finally come up with my personal definition of what Satan is, which is that all that is, it's a master idea that encompasses everything that's unaccepted or rejected by society. And when you look at it from an historical perspective with especially, you know, the level of patriarchal societies that would exist, I definitely think that that has a feminine archetype attached to it by default. You know, I mean, I certainly think that if I was, you know, a Jewish woman way back in the day, I would be, you know, Lilith would definitely be my girl. Do you see what I'm saying? Just by the definition of the archetype itself.
Well, these have developed, mind you. It is kind of taken for granted that Lilith is a empowering, strong, you know, good feminist type of role model in, you know, our post, not even 60s, post 1980s world that we live in now. But in the ancient world, she would have been considered a demonic, vampiric spirit that stole little children and was the very spirit of rebelliousness, howling in the night all the time. And there are a lot of female figures like that that are absolutely, they're very powerful, but they're very despondent. They are full of vengeance and rage. Medusa is one of those.
Tiamat. Oh, I love Tiamat.
Oh, absolutely, Tiamat. There's a whole class of goddesses that are personified as kind of this, like, fundamental ground of being, the green and black earth, that was dismembered in some way to make the world in which we live now. And that pre-mythology to the biblical creation pattern that we have, where, like, the darkness, the primal materia, which is kind of, like, manipulated and shuffled and engineered around,
mm-hmm.
I think that's very important. That's something that the left-hand path contributes, and that's something that can broaden kind of our mythological base so that we can move kind of beyond just being the opposite of Christianity.
Well, exactly. And I told somebody in chat once, I said, if it was actually completely dual, I would definitely think that if God was male, then Satan is most certainly female in nature. So
Well, I mean, there's no reason why you couldn't look at it that way.
Yes.
Because the Satan-Lucifer link was definitely made later. That's something that I will argue. Like, there's nothing in the Old Testament text that would lead you to ascribe really any gender to the Hasatan, but you could definitely consider it feminine. If you wanted, there's just no reason to exclude that at all.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I would also say that I think that things that are inherently female have definitely been cast as evil in the past. And you have so many just even historical women that are painted as being, you know, rather horrible women that actually, if you boil it down, they really weren't. They just did not do what society said they should at all.
Well, let's face the facts. Women are very mysterious and frustrating, and they can be very frightening.
I would add the term sensual, sexual, devious, manipulative, covert.
I mean, the patriarchy is born out of fear. That's something that has to be understood. If women were truly inferior, then that would not need to be asserted constantly at every turn. And that's what the patriarchy functionally does. It keeps women in their place out of necessity, out of the presumption that they are otherwise just agents of chaos and licentiousness and will just throw everything out of whack because that's what they do.
Yeah, and I think that people hate what they don't understand, and men predominantly built the societies because, you know, they're physically stronger and can be physically more intimidating, and I think that that's a lot of the reason why, you know, women get this origin of evil rap is that men don't understand them. It's very confusing. And my whole personal take on the oppression of women has been that in a lot of ways it was almost a biological evolutionary need. When you take into the physical characteristics of the two sexes, they need to be protected, and thus by definition they almost need to be oppressed and told you need to stay in the house because you might have a baby, and that's in order for the species to survive and progress. I think that's why a lot of those things occurred.
Well, there are a lot of people, Carl Jung was definitely one, that do kind of agree with you. The patriarchy was kind of a necessary phase in human evolution.
Yeah.
I would like to think that another way was possible. But if you can place it in a dialectic like that and, you know, presume that there are other phases of that to unfold down the road, then I can get down with it to a degree.
Yeah.
Only because we were in the late decaying phase of that.
Well, and I've also, you know, I have children, and I do know that, like, you know, I can protect myself and my own young not pregnant, 6-7 months pregnant. It's a whole different thing. I mean, I can remember with my last son, I was so scared that something was going to happen to me because my husband actually took a job as a truck driver, and I was alone. And it was terrifying because I realized, like, my big waddling ass could not stop a burglar, you know. It wouldn't happen. And that's kind of what's always, that's really where that kind of agreeing with that concept came from was, you know, when I was so pregnant that I could barely walk around, I started realizing, well, like, who would protect me? And if we were in the wild, I would have to have a man, you know.
Right on. Well, you ladies carry on, and I'll call in tomorrow.
Thanks for calling in.
Always a pleasure, B.
Yeah.
I don't know. That is one thing that you see in Satanism a lot is a necessary response or reaction to feminism, because they're both ideologies that are very concerned with liberation and with sexuality.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, I know.
So, where do you live?
What were your days on that?
Me?
Yeah.
I don't know. Straight-up feminism and what it's become, I disagree with in almost entirely. I do think I'm equal to men, but I do have a real belief that I have a sort of preordained role within evolution, and it involves things that a lot of it's atypical in a way, say that the ONA staff on that sort of encompasses my concept of it better, which is that I should be able to protect my own young, et cetera. So in that way, I feel like I should be masculine, because it's kind of, you know, society says that women are kind of, you know, they don't fight, they don't do those things. I disagree with that, because ultimately I feel like I should protect my own young. But beyond that, I feel like feminism should be more about embracing your femininity and not being a little man, you know?
Oh, yeah, no, there is kind of a bizarre, you know, bait and switch that comes with taking on all of the expectations that come with, you know, let's just say economic participation, because women have to participate economically. That's just a fact of the modern world. But they're expected, but if you expect them to do that, but do not take into account that either men will have to participate more in terms of child rearing and housework, or we're going to have to, you know, somehow take care of that by bringing in other labor, like, you know, daycare. You can't do that for housework, you know, for everybody, and daycare isn't, you know, the obvious answer for everybody either. If you don't take care of those things, if they stay unimportant relatively, then it's just a bad situation for everybody. So it's a tricky bait and switch.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I read in a parenting magazine one time, and I'll never forget it, that women spend 2/3 more time with the children and cleaning than men do. And these were women that worked 40 hours a week, and their husband worked the same amount. And that just kind of drove it home for me in that way, like, women kind of get the short end of the stick because they're told, you know, you should have a career. But then, you know, it's kind of like a lot of men don't step up to that other aspect, which is, you know, the dishes still have to be done, and somebody's going to have to change that kid's diaper, you know, at some point. And I think that there's a lot of stress in the modern world that women experience because of that dichotomy that's been set up.
And so when we talk about equality, do we mean in terms of capability or in terms of compensation or recognition or what? And one of the things that I appreciate most about Satanism is that it requires no compromise of my femininity or the way that I view it. And unlike modern feminism in a lot of ways, it doesn't just lay another imperative on me for my behavior and my attitudes based on the fact that I am a woman.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I will say too, being married and having kids, I am more naturally capable of doing things like multitasking and stuff. Like, I've seen my husband attempt, you know, make dinner and watch the kids at the same time, and it's a disaster. It really is. He doesn't multitask as well as I do. You know, he can't really keep an eye. He can kind of do one thing at once. And I think that that's another thing, too, is that I think that men and women are set up to think very differently also, and I think that sometimes that gets I think that gets missed by everyone because, you know, I tend to think, well, he should be able to do all this because I can, you know, and by the inverse, he doesn't understand that, you know, when I'm running around doing five things at once, that I actually am being productive.
Yeah, okay. I don't know. I think that Satanism allows a very, very optimistic approach to integrating one's femininity and one's role in society and their spirituality, because like I said, there is just no imperative. Satanism recognizes that, and you can see this throughout the works of, like, whether it's Anton LaVey or whether it's Long or, you know, even Temple of Soul as well. I mean, it's, I can't even think of anybody that doesn't conform to this rule. There's a widespread recognition that the feminine experience is very complex
and that it contains tenderness and brutality and cunning and sexism. And
yeah.
So, this is so much.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's one thing that I'm surprised that more women aren't Satanists, that you don't see more. I think there are quite a few. I just think that they're busy.
Not surprised at all to see that. I just think that many fewer women traffic under the label that happen to be, because they may just have a good deal more on their plate.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as they are pursuing something as long as they're pursuing something satanically, then I really don't care if they call themselves Satanists. It's almost even preferable to me.
Oh, yeah, no, I would definitely agree with that. I've had friends that, I had a friend named Susan. I mean, she would almost be an archetypical female Satanist while still, going to church and participating in that manner. And, I mean, her whole setup was very much that. I mean, she was a single mother, and she had four kids. We have a lot in common, me and her do, actually. And she was amazing. I mean, like, she did it all. I don't know when she left, but she did. She did it all, and it was very much a mentality of, this is my responsibility. Like, I mean, I remember that she refused child support because they were her children and it was her job to take care of them.
Yeah, no, and there are serious obligations that come with accepting that. Yeah, no, you obviously lose some measure of control.
Yeah.
But that's a very bold statement because it's something that, by all accounts, one should be entitled to, you'd think.
Yeah. Well,
I can respect that.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing is that she always told me, she would say, everything is just my responsibility. I mean, I knew her like 10 years ago, and she actually kind of, she really drove that home for me. It's my responsibility to make sure these things get done. Nobody else has that responsibility but me.
It's not glamorous, but it's very important work to simply hold things together, and it is just as trying, it's just as difficult, and it demands just as much skill and occasionally subterfuge and backstabbing or what have you to do, and it often just like falls to the female to hold things together that are neglected and that people do not care about or recognize the value of.
Oh, yeah. No, I would definitely agree with that. I think that, I really think that women have, and I do like, it's one of the things that I do like about America in particular, but I do think that there are some real falsities that exist about women, but I think that American women in general are at least portrayed, in the media and stuff in a way that's closer to what women really are than what they're not.
Now that I think of it, I'm rarely all that offended. I mean, unless the portrayal is obviously, like, specifically designed to offend me, there is kind of a mystique about those Yankee girls. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. And I would say that, that women, especially American women, are definitely portrayed as being, women that can kind of do everything. Which actually is sometimes very daunting because, at least for me, it's like, sometimes I don't want to do everything, Sometimes I really do, I really do think to myself sometimes, like, man, I just wish that my responsibilities were just at my house and I didn't have to do a bunch of other stuff. I think that would be easier. And I've been a housewife periodically and, on again and off again. And quite honestly, I hate it. I am the worst housewife probably in the history of the world. I am so bad at it. It doesn't work for me because I wind up like, I'm a housewife for about a month and then I start like, talking shit and not cleaning
stuff. Am I rich?
Yeah.
I have two opinions on this.
Well, the thing is though, we live at a, my husband does pretty well on his, he does okay. And, you know, I do okay too, but, you know, we live a relatively simple lifestyle, and that's what we did, is that we sat and we cut everything out when I had my youngest son so that I could stay home with him. I mean, the things that we cut would be absolutely unimaginable to most people. Like, you know, I got to the point where I can grocery shop for 6 people on less than $50 a week, and the food will be good. You know, but I learned how to do those things. And we still operate that way, and basically, you know.
It's not impossible if you cook it yourself.
Yes.
Yeah, I wonder how many American families have forgotten what actual food looks like real food that you have to prepare. Maybe you put it into a plastic bag when you acquire it from the market, but it doesn't automatically come in a box. You don't just add water, and you know, you may or may not be able to microwave it. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely an animal of convenience, somebody. Seriously, I really am. All praise God to the almighty freezer stuff. I'm totally a convenience person just because I'm too busy to deal with cooking.
Hey, we have those things for a reason.
But we definitely do.
But see, I am the total opposite because I cook every single day. I do, and I cook a home-cooked meal pretty much from scratch. And I cook stuff up in advance. Like, if I'm not working, I'll spend 3 or 4 hours cooking and freezing stuff to have for later. So if we stuff up the freezer, it's normally the lasagna I made 4 days ago when I did an Italian meal stack that was quite expensive, you know, which is like 4 or 5 pounds of meat. And, you know, you have spaghetti and lasagna and, you know, different things that come out of that. But, yeah, I learned how to do that, and it really was a good thing because it means that, you know, my kids will have money for college and stuff because I don't, you know, run to McDonald's every week. I had a friend like that. Like, literally, her kid only ate at fast food restaurants. Like, the kid could not actually concept home-cooked food.
Well, my goodness, we actually have, like, 5 minutes left, it looks like.
No, actually, it's past 6 o'clock. But.
Okay. Well, I need to get back to work.
All righty.
So I'm going to drop out, but you ladies have an excellent day, and I don't know, that was good.
You too. All right, you want to sign off?
Sure.
All right. Well, thanks for everybody listening to us and all that and Beef calling in. And sorry to the first caller that didn't make it on the air. And we are going to sign out. See you guys next week.
Bye.